You're listening to the Hog Sports Network Daily Podcast. Now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Happy Friday to you. We appreciate you being with us as we take one more look at Arkansas-Tennessee this weekend. Later in the show, we'll have David Paschal. He's a reporter for the Chattanooga Times Free Press. We'll talk to him about the Volunteers as they get ready for this game against Arkansas here with Ethan Westerman. And we're supposed to do something fun today. I was going to wear a Fayetteville shirt, and Ethan was going to wear a Rogers shirt because he has – what would you say? You've adopted the Mounties as your team? Is that right?
I live there. It's my hometown team. I had to choose between them and Rogers Heritage, and I'm a little closer to Rogers High School. So
yeah, you're pretty close to Rogers High. Yeah. Well, even though you didn't bring a shirt, I brought something for you to wear right here.
Oh, okay. So I'm wearing blue. So
you can wear this Rogers Mounties helmet that I found over here in our prep.
Does it go on
in our prep section?
Can it go on top of my headset? I guess
I don't
not.
Think you can get that on. By the way, you know what happens?
We'll try it later.
See, we've got a Razorback helmet up above us here, too. What happens is they give you helmets that basically are too small to fit anybody, I've decided. And so you try to put these things on. I got a big dome. I can't get it down over mine. But even Anthony, who's sitting over here in the back, you know, he's a small guy. He's trying to pull it down over his, and he can't get it down. So
let me tell you, back whenever I covered high school games, I loved covering games from Rogers High School. That stadium's pretty nice. They would always give some great food in the press box, too, for the reporters. So that's a plus. But
there you go.
Yeah. This is my team.
There you go. We'll have Fayetteville Rogers out
college
here on the
game
desk.
Day, Hog Sports Network. Game day or something? No,
maybe we can pick Rogers and Fayetteville here in a little bit. We need to get a new Fayetteville helmet. They've got a new decal on there, so it's got the F logo instead of the old Bulldog. So we'll keep that here for the first segment. Okay. Fayetteville and Rogers tonight. That's a game that Ethan and I have got a friendly little – we don't have a wager yet.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm willing to bet. I really don't. This is just my team. This is just who I'm supporting.
Arkansas and Tennessee on Saturday night, 6:30. ABC, Chris Fowler, Kirk Herbstreit, Holly Rowe will be on the call. It's got a big game feel to it, except for Arkansas is not ranked. I mean, and obviously the Razorbacks are a big underdog, but it's got that feel where it's like, could Arkansas make this a little bit closer than people think they can?
Yeah, and I think that's kind of where I'm at with it, too. It's like, I think everybody's almost expecting too little from Arkansas in this game and forgetting that this team has been competitive in every single game it's been in. They have a defense that I think can keep them in games. I know Tennessee's, of course, the biggest challenge yet, but it's just one of those things I'm like, it could be one of those that we're just sleeping a little bit too much.
Nico Iamaliava feels like he may be the best quarterback that Arkansas's seen this year. I mean, it's really the first time I think you go into a game and you say that Arkansas has got a definitive quarterback that Taylen Green is not either equal to or better than the opposing quarterback. We thought, and I mean that going into the game, obviously he's had his struggles this year, but we thought he was going to be better than Peyton Thorne or Hank Brown 2 weeks ago. I thought he was going to be at least at the level of Alan Bowman over in Stillwater, and that pretty much turned out to be true. I thought he'd be at least at the level, if not a little bit better, than Marcel Reed last week in Arlington, and I'm not so sure that didn't turn out to be true. Reed just seemed like he had some better playmakers around him throughout that game and obviously had better line play. But Iamaliava, this is a guy that feels like he's a legitimate, maybe not all SEC this year with some of the other quarterbacks. I mean, Milroe, you've got him in there. You've got Carson Beck. You've got some others. But down the line, you know, legitimate all SEC type draft prospect.
Yeah, for sure. It's the first time I feel like Arkansas is facing a quarterback that you're expecting just big things from. You know, all the other ones that Arkansas has faced to this point, you really didn't know. I kind of didn't have any expectations for any of them, to be honest. Like, rolling into is more like, what are they going to do today? Nico, I'm not going to say his last name. I'll let you do that, since you did it so well.
Yeah, Maliava.
He's by far, I think, the best quarterback they've played yet. And this Tennessee offense in general, I mean, lead the nation in scoring. So
some of that has to do, I think, too, with who they played. They played UT Chattanooga. They played Kent State, which was not a very good team at all.
Yeah.
It was 65-0 at halftime. OU, a good defense that they played in their last game. And, of course, they've had a week off. You can't say Iamaliava.
I could if I got a little bit more time. You're putting me under so much pressure right now.
Iamaliava.
Iamaliava. It's not happening today. It's just Nico with me. I'll get it down before kickoff, but...
You will not. The names that are fun are the ones that have more vowels and consonants.
Oh, yeah.
He's at seven vowels and two consonants.
Yeah,
and
that's so, why it's so tricky, because you could make a justification for a few different ways to say that.
You know, for Arkansas, it feels like, and we've said this many times, they've got to find a way to pick off one of these teams, one of these big-name teams that's coming into Fayetteville this year. I think they've got a team that's capable of doing it. Now, whether or not they will do it, I don't know. They're going to have to improve their line play, obviously. You know, some of the things they're going to do on the offensive line, it'll be interesting to see. You know, after 2 weeks of basically just getting pushed backward against Auburn and Texas A&M, what do they do offensive line-wise against Tennessee? Because, Ethan, if you line up and you try to do the same things against Tennessee that you tried to do against Auburn and Texas A&M, it's going to be a futile effort, it feels like, because this is a really elite defensive line. I said this yesterday. I feel like they are right there on par with Alabama and Georgia as far as defensive lines. And Arkansas doesn't have to play Alabama or Georgia. This may be the best defensive front that Arkansas is going to see this year.
Yeah, you wonder what type of scheme Petrino is going to come up with for this one, because you said it best. I mean, if you try and do what you've done the past 2 weeks, I think this is the best defense you've played yet. I think that it is key that Arkansas has got to get the run game going, though. You know, against Texas A&M, and I mean, Auburn did a little bit, especially toward the end, but didn't really throughout. You know, against UAB, against Oklahoma State, Arkansas ran the ball really well early, and I think that kind of opened up things for the rest of the game. I think Arkansas's got to find a way to get the run game going against Tennessee pretty early, but I would expect, you know, a little bit more of what we saw second half against Texas A&M with the pressure that Taylen Green was facing. They were trying to dial up some just quick passes to get the ball out of his hands before pressure could come. I think you'll probably see a little bit more of that, too.
Arkansas's got to figure out how to win games at home. This is something that has been a years-long problem for them. And I think you really can go back and kind of find the pivot point being when they enclosed the south end zone. In 2001, I've looked up these numbers before. If you look at 1992 to 2000, Arkansas was 19-9 overall and 11-7 in conference play at Razorback Stadium. Now, I know there's a lot more years, you know, since then, but since 2001, when they expanded the stadium, of course, they expanded it again in 2018. Here's Arkansas's record at home: 74-52 in Fayetteville. Not a great record. 30-42 against SEC teams, including blowout losses the last two times they had SEC teams in Fayetteville, and 32-48 against all Power 5 teams. You know, that includes when Texas has come in, or when USC has come in, or TCU, or Texas Tech, and so on. 32-48 against Power 5 teams since the 01 expansion, 30-42 against SEC teams. If Arkansas is ever going to turn the corner as a football program, they have to start by winning their home games. You think about what Arkansas basketball does at Bud Walton Arena, what the baseball team does at Baum. We've talked about the soccer team being number one, and the fact they haven't lost a regular season home game over at Razorback Field in like 4 years. It's one of the toughest home field environments there is. And you can go down the list. There's other teams on campus who have very good home records, softball team at Bogle. Football's got to learn how to win these home games, because you're never going to turn the corner as a program by just being a really good road team. The teams don't do that. They've got to be a good home team. And when you're going 30-42 against SEC teams, I don't know what that win percentage is. It's obviously well below 500. 32-48 against Power 5 teams. I mean, these are really atrocious numbers.
Yeah, and I think you're right about just that's how you got to start with turning the corner. I think of some of the other programs on campus that have, quote-unquote, turned the corner. Volleyball is a big one that, I mean, they were in the same situation kind of as the football program, I feel like, just bottom at the SEC trying to climb. And they last year, I think they maybe lost two home games. They're undefeated at home right now. They protect home. Softball, kind of that's how they got started too with their turnaround, was winning those home games. I think that that's just key to any program of if you're going to get the fan support, it starts with winning your games in front of them. You know, you gotta start having some better showing. And it's not only, in my opinion, that Arkansas isn't winning at a high clip at home in recent history. It's how, even in the wins, how they've played. Like UAB earlier this year, it just didn't didn't give fans much optimism afterward, unless the, you know, coming back from a 17-3 deficit, I guess, was good to see. But, like, do you want to be down 17-3 at home? And then you think of Kent State last year. Kent State was one of the worst teams in the nation.
And even the FIU game wasn't that great.
Yeah, FIU wasn't great. I mean, they got to – it's just a matter of handling business at home. And, I mean, turn it back even the year before, Missouri State, you had to escape from them at home. Liberty, you lost to at home. It's just games that Arkansas fans feel like if they pay their money and they go to the game, they should see a better performance from Arkansas, and they don't.
Sometimes when you get the better teams that come in here, you do get a little bit more inspired effort, you know, certainly on the field. And, you know, Fayetteville can be a very tough environment to play in. Look at what happened with Texas, you know, a few years ago during that game. But, you know, too often times the fans show up. The Auburn game last year, Arkansas goes into that game with, what, three wins? Mm-hmm. Is that right? Three wins? And they're at the point where if they run the table, they can go to a bowl game. There were like 73,000 people there for that game. Even the Mississippi State game, the 7-3 snooze fest at 11 a.m. in the morning, people sat through that thing. It was a pretty full house. People sat through that thing until the end. It just feels like the play on the field too often does not match the enthusiasm that you see in the stands.
Yeah, and you wonder how much, like, it shouldn't be this way, but a night game can help out too, just as far as getting the place a little more energized. I think of the games they've played well at home in recent history. I feel like almost all of them have happened at night. You think of Ole Miss a few years ago. That was a night game. You think of Texas. I know last year BYU was a home game. They didn't play great in that one. But, I mean, I'll even turn it back to the Chad Morris year. They almost beat LSU at night. I just think that something about a night home game, especially against an SEC team, it can get the place a little more juiced in the players. You know, that's what you wonder sometimes is it, do the players need something to, like, just confirm, like, this is – you got to bring your A game today? I mean, UAB, it felt like the whole stadium was sleepwalking. I mean – for so much of that game, but we'll see. I know they got a stripe out going, so maybe that can help them.
First on campus conference game for Arkansas, first home conference game period. Their first two conference games have been against Auburn at the neutral site against A&M. I asked you this the other day. I know you know the answer now, but tell me what the answer you originally gave me was. Do you know how many Power Four teams have yet to play a home conference game going into the first weekend of October?
You need me to give the fake one?
Yeah, give the fake one. What was your answer when I asked you that originally? Because I think that you're more in line with what most people think.
I said seven.
Yeah, and I thought that there's probably some people say, well, you know, Arkansas is the last one. Mm-hmm. No, they're not, and it's not even close. There are 22 teams in the Power Four that have yet to play a home conference game this year. Pretty amazing. In the Big Ten, you've got Illinois, Iowa, Northwestern, Wisconsin. In the Big 12, Arizona State, and Iowa State. And then it seems like about half the ACC, I don't even know how many teams are there anymore, but Boston College, Cal, Georgia Tech, North Carolina, NC State, Pittsburgh, Stanford, Virginia, and Virginia Tech have all not played home conference games. Then you go into the SEC, you've got four teams that will play their first conference home game this weekend, Arkansas obviously against Tennessee, Georgia hosting Auburn, A&M hosts Missouri, Vanderbilt hosts Alabama. And then Tennessee is still yet to play a conference home game. They're going to play Florida for the first time at home over at Neyland next week. And LSU will also play its first home conference game next week against Ole Miss. That's a really high number going into October. And you look, you dig into it a little bit more. Boston College is going to be the team that gets to go last as far as playing a conference home game. This is kind of what happened to Arkansas last year, where they didn't play a conference home game until Mississippi State in late October. BC does not play an ACC game at home until October 25th.
Wow. Yeah, that's really unfortunate. I mean, good thing Boston College, I've never just sensed a very, very passionate football fan base.
They like their team this year.
I'm sure they do, but
they've got a pretty good team.
Yeah. I'm sure the ones that do follow it are passionate, but Boston College. But yeah, I would like to see what that number, how many of those, you said 22, right?
Yeah.
How many of those played at least like a home Power Conference team, like LSU, for instance, played UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, Arkansas is looking at it. They've only played UAB at home. It's just.
I think there's a lot of teams actually that have yet to play a Power Conference team on their campus. You think like Virginia Tech, they went to Vanderbilt early in the year, and so that was their you know, big out of conference games, so to
speak. But you even think of some of those on there, and it's a little bit, I know it's different, but like Georgia.
Tennessee hasn't.
Georgia played in Atlanta versus, it's just a difference of like, you know, Arkansas, the reason that they're kind of in this situation is War Memorial State. Well, talking about not playing a power conference.
Not,
War, Memorial War Memorial and Arlington.
No, it's not. It's more Arlington than War Memorial. War Memorial, so basically what happens is that the conferences, they're given schedules that, you know, they're given the non-conference schedules, and then they plan the conference games around those four non-conference games. And then there are instances where teams have conference games that are contracted years out. So like Arkansas and A&M, like Florida and Georgia, like the Red River game between OU and Texas down in Dallas. And they have to work around that too. And so, you know, the more that you front-load non-conference games, the harder it's going to be to assure that you've got a home conference game early in the season. And you're just kind of at the mercy of what the league gives you. Mm-hmm. And so Arkansas, for the last couple of years, you know, they've had to play their first SEC game on the road. They went to LSU last year. They went to Auburn this year. They've got the A&M game that was always locked into that late September date every single season. The flip side of it is that they don't have to leave home a whole lot now after they've gotten through these first few weeks.
Yeah, that was – I just noticed that, like, with a lot of those teams, like, even I think NC State and Tennessee were on that. They played each other neutral side.
Right.
I think the difference is Arkansas has been locked into a contract to play a game away from – like, those
the
were
A&M.
One – Georgia played a one-off against Clemson and Atlanta. Yeah. NC State, Tennessee played a one-off in, was that Raleigh? No, it wasn't Raleigh. That's where
Charlotte.
NC State is in Charlotte.
Yeah.
These were one-off things. Arkansas, it's probably a more consistent thing that this happens because they're locked. They've been locked into that.
One of the big differences is that Arkansas A&M has always been in that late September window with the Cowboys Stadium. OU in Texas is in mid-October as part of the Texas State Fair, and then you've got Georgia, Florida always in late October down in Jacksonville, and so some of the dates that they have to work with are later. The SEC office does them with Arkansas and A&M.
I do think it's better to have them later in the year, those type of games, because if you're in Arkansas, like, I don't – this shouldn't happen with the team, but you see it happen with the team. You get off to a bad start to the year, and it sets the tone for everything else, and you kind of – I think it's – you kind of see how it goes from there. I think it's better to play, like, you know, a later in the season neutral site game because your teams kind of have – had a chance to get better footing at that point. And honestly, it could give you a second wind, I think, if you're, you know, you haven't had the year you wanted, but now you're going to a, you know, a big time environment for a game like that.
The next few weeks are going to be really big for Arkansas, I feel like, because I mean, obviously they've got an off week next week, but I'm talking about the next few games because I feel like they've got to have something positive come out of either Tennessee or LSU. It may not be a win, but it's, you know, it's a game where you're in it right at the very end. It can't be, you know, blowout city 2 weeks in a row or two games in a row, especially not at home, going to that Mississippi State game. Because you're kind of at that point in the season where, you know, the next few weeks are going to determine how focused and locked in the players are for the stretch run in November. I don't know that I don't feel good about Arkansas beating Tennessee this week. I do like the chances for an upset a little bit better when they get LSU next week, when LSU's coming off a game against Ole Miss, or in 2 weeks, when LSU's coming off a game against Ole Miss and Arkansas's coming off an off week. But this is an important stretch to see how the team stays together because it didn't feel like the team was very together at the end of last year. And that's why Auburn ends up being, you know, quote unquote, 38 points better than Arkansas. They were not that much better than Arkansas last year, but at that point in the season, Auburn was playing a lot more together than the Razorbacks were.
For sure. I think you got to get some – you got to take some things that will build the team up a little bit the next two games for Arkansas. And I think I'm right with you. I think the LSU is a great opportunity for the Razorbacks. I'm not so sure this weekend. It just feels like an inopportune time this weekend to catch Tennessee.
We'll have predictions coming up a little bit later across the SEC and some big games nationally. When we come back, David Paschal from the Chattanooga Times-Free Press will join us to talk about this Arkansas-Tennessee game and what he's seen watching the Volunteers up close all season. But first, a word from our sponsors.
Want to enjoy your life again? Burning, numbness, and general pain in your feet and legs might be keeping you from your daily activities. Neuropathy treatment can be effective to restoring your life. Come see what we can do at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Uptown Rogers. We can treat your neuropathy pain and get you back in the game of life. Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute is located at 5102 West Pauline Whitaker Parkway in Uptown Rogers.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kindle King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design, with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kindle King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Hey, welcome back. We appreciate you being here. I want to tell you about our friends over at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute. They are your source for holistic wellness and your healthy lifestyle changes. Located in Uptown Rogers, the staff at Enhanced Healthcare will target your specific health plan for wellness, from neuropathy treatment, primary care, weight loss, and so much more. You can count on the experts at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Rogers. We're joined now by David Pascal. He's a reporter for the Chattanooga Times Free Press. And he is en route as we speak to Fayetteville to cover the game this weekend. David, thanks for being with us.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Hey, so what's the feeling over in Tennessee this week about this game?
Well, the feeling is, as a whole, Josh Heupel can do no wrong right now. I mean, you think about, there was optimism coming into this season with all the players that Tennessee returned that we can get into. But, I mean, I don't think anybody expected them to be 4-0 by the average score of 54-7. Mm-hmm. I mean, you start off this season and you kind of had the two gimme games against UT Chattanooga and Kent State. But you also had NC State that was preseason ranked, and that was in Charlotte. So that was a neutral site game. And then you had the spectacle that was Oklahoma a couple of weeks ago, because it was their first game as an SEC member against another SEC team. So even those two games, NC State and Oklahoma, to win those two games by a combined 76-25 is incredible. And so, you know, you've got a situation where Tennessee's outscoring opponents 78-3 in the first quarter and 71-3 in the second quarter. So, yeah, I mean, there's a whole lot of excitement around Tennessee right now over here.
And I feel like anybody who watched the Oklahoma game knows that even though it was a 10-point, final margin, that game was nowhere near that close.
Well, and it's interesting because Josh Heupel is known for his frenetic tempo and just how many plays a minute he can run. But it was a different type of deal in that Oklahoma game. They came in without Lance Hurd, their starting left tackle, who was out. And then John Campbell Jr., their right tackle, got hurt in the first half. So all of a sudden you've got to play this game without your two starting tackles. And there was a play in that game early in the second quarter where Nico Iamaliava just got clobbered, and a guy ran right by one of the backups. And, it was just a situation where when they got up 19-3 at halftime and then they were to add a field goal to go up 22-3, Heupel was just like, let's let the air out of this balloon and just try to get out of here as quick as you can. And so that's kind of what Tennessee did. You had the switch at quarterback for Oklahoma, and he did some good things and made it a little bit closer than Tennessee wanted. But it was just a style that Tennessee has not been able to do under Heupel. You think about some of these coaches like Malzahn and Heupel that run these quick tempos. Sometimes they struggle with a fourth quarter lead to just kind of grind out the clock. But that's kind of what Tennessee was able to do.
Do you still cover Georgia football in addition to Tennessee, David?
I do write Georgia articles each week, but I cover Tennessee wherever they go.
Okay.
So every Saturday I'm with Tennessee.
The point being, you watch Georgia, I'm sure.
Right.
It feels to me like when I watch Tennessee's defensive front, it reminds me of a Georgia-style defensive front. Just maybe not necessarily in what they're doing schematically, but just the sheer size and physicality of those defensive linemen is something that really stands out when you watch them on the screen.
I think you're spot on, because I think, because I've covered a lot of Georgia through the years. I've also covered my share of Alabama. Mm-hmm. And this Tennessee defensive front looks like those that you see typically in Athens or Tuscaloosa. And I thought Sam Pittman was spot on Wednesday's SEC Zoom call, because he was asked about James Pierce. And James Pierce is, of course, preseason All-American edge rusher. I think he's in the Tennessee, UTC, and Kent State games. I think he played like 24 combined snaps because they didn't need him. So his numbers are not that big. And Sam Pittman was like, don't be fooled by that. He's like, the problem with Tennessee is the job that they do pushing the pocket with the interior. Mm. And that's where like Omari Thomas, Omar Norman Lott, Bryson Eason, these guys, Elijah Simmons, these guys have been just absolute monsters. And you know how things cycle up through the years. Every school kind of goes through this where, you know, like I said at the very beginning, you knew there was optimism because of the players that were returning. But how often do you have a program in this day and age like Tennessee has with six multi-year seniors on the offensive line and five multi-year seniors on the defensive line? So this was cycled up to be a team that was, like, really good in the trenches and, to your point, kind of looking like a Georgia.
Yeah, Maliava, I know there was a lot of excitement about him after, you know, the way he played in the bowl game last year. Quarterbacks, they don't always live up to it, but it seems like he's lived up to it through the first month.
Yeah, he's been really nice, and I thought after the Oklahoma game, Heupel just gave him a beautiful compliment, saying that, they were talking about how this is the most versatile offense Heupel's had in his four seasons, which is, you know, quite a compliment because 2 years ago they led the nation in total offense and scoring offense. Of course, that was the big play of Hendon Hooker and Jalen Hyatt, the first Biletnikoff winner. But he was talking about how this was the most versatile offense that Tennessee has had in his 4 years. And he said the reason for that is because of how comfortable Iamaliava is in running it. And so, and you had Sam Pittman say the same thing Wednesday. He's like, look, he's talented and can make every throw, but it looks from, you know, just studying film on him that his leadership skills are off the chart.
What do you see as the key to this game Saturday?
You know, it's interesting. I think, you know, there's so many similarities to this trip for Tennessee compared to Oklahoma. I mean, I just think one intangible that Tennessee has is they've had their first open date, and this will be Arkansas's sixth game in 6 weeks. You know, but I think it's just it's funny because even though Oklahoma has a larger stadium, I love Reynolds Razorback Stadium. I think it's a great atmosphere. I actually think that's a little louder in the way it's configured. So you've kind of got the same element that Tennessee faced at Oklahoma. Can you take the crowd out and do some good things in the first quarter to where you can get ahead and, like I said, take the crowd out? So, you know, I think that's the big key for Tennessee. I just think that Tennessee, to what we've been talking about, their defensive front is going to dictate a lot of games this year. They did that against Oklahoma. Oklahoma had five new starting offensive linemen from a year ago. I think you certainly have the uniqueness of Tennessee facing one of its own with Addison Nichols. I mean, he's been so good, you know, nailing down that starting center spot for Arkansas. But now he's going to be going up against a whole bunch of guys he's gone up against the past couple of years in practice. So, but I think that's just an edge Tennessee's going to have in a lot of games. Their defensive line against the opposing offensive line. So, you know, I think this could be a you know, barring like crazy turnovers by one team or another, I mean, I do think this could be like a 27-13 type of win for Tennessee.
You wrote before they went to Norman that, you know, they had some road struggles in recent years, but it doesn't seem – obviously didn't seem to affect them that night there. And I know the North Carolina State game and Charlotte, there were probably more orange in the stands than there was red, but it seems like this team is playing better from home maybe than some of the past Heupel teams.
Yes, and I mean, some of those road games by the end of last year, especially that Missouri game, you know, I don't want to make excuses, but I mean, Tennessee was really hindered on the offensive line. They had a bunch of season injuries by that point, and so that game was really kind of ugly, and it showed. It was like 36-7, but some of it was just last year, like early last year. I mean, when they were losing to Florida and they were losing to Alabama, I mean, there's no shame in losing in the Swamp and losing at Bryant-Denny, but the problem that Tennessee had last year, and once they would do well early, but once the other team established momentum, they couldn't do anything about it. I mean, Florida scored 26 straight points in that game last year in the Swamp. Alabama scored the final 27 points of the game in Tuscaloosa. And then by the time you got to Missouri, I mean, Tennessee led that game 7-3 and lost 36-7. So they gave up the last 33 points in that. They just never could stop the bleeding last year. And it's interesting because the Heupel era was kind of built on some early road wins. That second year going to LSU and getting up 37-7 and winning that thing 40-13, I mean, that was a huge springboard for that Orange Bowl team a couple of years ago.
One more for you, David, before we get you out of here, a little bit of a curveball. Basketball practice is underway. I know that you wrote something recently about Rick Barnes and what Tennessee looks like. That's going to be John Calipari's first SEC game as the Razorback coach. They go over to Knoxville on January 4th. What do the Volunteers look like this year?
You know, it's really funny. We have an athletic banquet that we put on every year, the Best of Preps banquet, and and it's been really neat the last couple of years because we've been able to get college age kids through NIL to do this kind of stuff where you couldn't do it before. And we had Zakai Ziegler, you know, who's just the senior point guard who's such a great story. You think about, you know, his freshman year, his home burned down, and his sophomore year against Arkansas early in that game in Knoxville had a ACL, so he never got to participate in March Madness as a sophomore. But, you know, afterwards I was visiting with him and, you know, just asked him what he thought that Arkansas game would be like. And he's like, that may be the most crazy one of the year. And it's just right out of the chute, you know, because the Coach Cal Barnes dynamic is so interesting because for years there's no team that Tennessee wants to beat more than Kentucky, but everybody, all the Vols fans kind of realize this is kind of weird because Barnes and Coach Cal are such good friends. But the Jonas Adu thing just so took everybody by shock. I mean, you know, the fact that they were having their exit meetings and then he walked out and there's just like, oh, he's out of here, he left, because, you know, he had told everybody that he was staying, or it told some people that he was staying. And so Ziegler likes Jonas Adu, but he's just like, oh my gosh, the response that he could get walking into the Food City Center could really be something. So that is definitely a game right out of the gate that I think a lot of people are excited about.
I was talking to Brandon Marcello several weeks back, and he said that one of the things Arkansas is going to have to get used to, basketball fans, is that they are the hunted now. They are the team that everybody's going to everybody's going to want to beat because of the Calipari angle. It's going to be so much different for Arkansas going into these arenas on the road than it really has been probably since the Nolan Richardson years.
Yeah, and I thought Coach Cal, he's always a great quote, but I mean, when he had that quote, you know, several weeks ago about, you know, wanting to keep his roster down, not wanting to have 13.
He said,
you know, he had that line about, why would I want to coach several kids who are only going to leave me? You know, and Barnes has kind of done that, not to the degree of Cal, but I mean, he doesn't have a full 13 right now too. So it's going to be interesting to see how some of these coaches move forward with that. Cause I mean, it certainly, there's a lot of common sense to what Coach Cal said with that.
David, we appreciate your time and good luck driving over here. Hope to see you tomorrow.
All right. Sounds great. Enjoy it. Always love coming to Fayetteville. I think it's a great, great setting. It always reminds me of how pretty it is around Chattanooga with the mountains and the hills.
Oh yeah. Beautiful drive that's awaiting you today. Appreciate it, David.
All right, take care.
All right, when we come back, Ethan Westerman will be with us. We'll talk more about Arkansas, Tennessee, and we'll give our weekend predictions. But first, another word from our sponsors.
Want to enjoy your life again? Burning, numbness, and general pain in your feet and legs might be keeping you from your daily activities. Neuropathy treatment can be effective to restoring your life. Come see what we can do at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Uptown Rogers. We can treat your neuropathy pain and get you back in the game of life. Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute is located at 5102 West Pauline Whitaker Parkway in Uptown Rogers.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart. We are design.
Hey, welcome back. We appreciate you being with us. We want to tell you about our friends over at Bentonville Glass. They've been serving their community since 1971. They're committed, professional, and versatile. If you're looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas or looking for skilled craftsmanship, look no further than Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. You can come by and see them right now at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at bentonvilleglass.com. Ethan wrote online at Whole Hog Sports today, if you want to look at it, his keys to victory. We'll go through a few of those right now. And we heard David Paschal talk a few minutes ago, Ethan, about how good this Tennessee front is and how, you know, I've made this comparison to Georgia all week, and so it's interesting to hear someone who has covered both Tennessee and Georgia give his evaluation and say, yeah, it looks just like those Kirby Smart defensive lines. It really starts with giving Talon Green a pocket to step up in and make passes. But on the flip side, Green's got to make the decision that he's going to step up in the pocket and stand in there, because I feel like one of the things that's contributing to all the running plays that he's had so far this year is the fact that, you know, he's not very patient and not as willing to stand in there and take those hits as some quarterbacks are.
Yeah. I think it's alarming that Sam Pittman this week said, we've got a confidence problem. We have a quarterback that's not confident. That stood out to me. But I get it. If you feel like you're constantly going to get hit in the back, you know, it's hard to be confident to step up in the pocket, but it's what he has to do. I mean, I watched the Falcons and Buccaneers last night. I'm a Falcons fan. And Kirk Cousins was taking some shots all game, but he hung in the pocket and just he made the throws despite knowing the hit's coming. I think that's what a quarterback has to do. Even if you know that there's a good chance you're ending up on your backside, you have to just trust your mechanics and trust what you're doing and just deliver.
But that's what separates NFL quarterbacks from everybody else.
Yeah.
Is that those are the elite of the elite passers who are willing to stand in there and make that throw. There's just not a lot of quarterbacks that are willing to do that.
Yeah, and I mean, Saturday against Texas A&M, Taylen Green didn't even have time to. That was a different animal, I feel like, from maybe some of these other pressures that he's seen this year. He didn't even have really any time to make those decisions, I felt like, against Texas A&M. They were just constantly just in an instant in the backfield. But I do think that this is a game that Tennessee's sack numbers aren't great. I mean, they're averaging 1.75 sacks per game. That's second to last in the SEC. But it's not about the sacks for them. I think that so many times people will take, you know, pass rush and the statistic that you have to look at is sacks. Like, that's what it is. But I think there's just so much more to that. It's how pressured the quarterback feels, how much he's having to hurry stuff, how much he's defenders are batting his passes at the line, how often he's having to get rid of it, you know, just that second quicker than he wanted to. Mm-hmm. I think that's what Tennessee does well, is they have a lot of guys that they're not necessarily getting high sack numbers, but they are getting a lot of pressure back there that's making quarterbacks have to make quick decisions. And, you know, the thing that Josh Heupel's worried about this week, you hear him talking, and I think it's what most coaches that face Arkansas will be worried about, is Green outside the pocket. They haven't really faced a guy of Taylen Green's caliber yet as far as can just make a play with his legs outside the pocket. I put this number in the story today. Taylen Green's forced 75 missed tackles, which is third in the SEC. That's including all running backs, all rushers. And it's 13 more than the next quarterback. So I think that that's what Taylen Green can do this game to keep Arkansas in it. Is you saw last year in the games that Arkansas was close, it felt like there was kind of a mixture of the defense kept them in it. Cam Little was clutch. He kept them in games. And KJ Jefferson, all their scoring drives, it all was him making plays with his legs. And I'm like, Taylen Green might have to do a little bit of that, you know, Saturday, just to keep Arkansas in the game.
I read something earlier this week on Pro Football Focus that when Green is blitzed, his passing percentage drops by close to 40% versus whenever he's not blitzed.
Yeah.
If I'm looking at that as a defensive coordinator, I know what I've got schemed up for Arkansas.
Yeah. And you remember what we listened to Trent Dilfer a few weeks ago. He was giving his advice. He said, just make him feel pressure and make the receivers beat you one-on-one. It seems like that's been well-received by defenses.
A great running back matchup in this game. You got Jaquindon Jackson of Arkansas. I don't believe he's leading the SEC in rushing yards anymore. He was going into the A&M game.
I don't think his average is.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you've got Dylan Sampson on the other side from Tennessee, who's leading the SEC in rushing touchdowns with 10. I think Jackson's got 9 rushing touchdowns for Arkansas. And so these teams really rely on their run game quite a bit. I think what really stands out to me, though, is the fact that Arkansas outside of Jackson, their best runner has been Green, the quarterback. Tennessee actually has a couple of really good running backs behind Sampson.
Yep. Exactly. I think Arkansas's got to get kind of that stable of backs established, because
Rodney Hill's out for this game.
Rodney Hill's out. Braylon Russell's seen an increase in his workload, and it's been promising at times. Rashad DeBinion, this could be the first time we really see him this year, I think. he's back from suspension. I think that Arkansas's got to get a few more guys involved, because Jaquindon Jackson is, it seems like every single game, having to leave because just getting banged up. He always fights through it and comes back in and gets his touches, but you can't go a whole season and just not have any secondary backs.
He needs that week off.
Oh, yeah. He needs it worse than anybody.
Yeah. Arkansas's availability report getting kind of long going into this game against Tennessee. If you want to read more of Ethan's keys to victory for this game, you can go on our website. It's our one of our top stories on the site right now, 5 keys to victory for Arkansas football against Tennessee. We'll do predictions now, and we got a few games, non-conference, or 2 games really non-conference to talk about because they both got a little bit of a Razorback angle. UNLV is what I'm calling Arkansas West at this point, with Barry Odom and Michael Scherer, and you just go on down the list. You got Jalen Catalon, Jackson Woodard, Manny Powell. There's so many former Razorbacks that are out there playing for the Running Rebels. I guess they're not the Running Rebels in football. They're the Running Rebels in basketball. They're just they're the Rebels in football. They are undefeated, and they are hosting Syracuse tonight out of the ACC. Syracuse 3-1. This is a Friday night game. It'll be on FS1 beginning at 8 o'clock. UNLV, if they win this game, it would be their 3rd win over a Power Conference team, and they'd be sitting pretty for the playoff. And everybody was talking about their quarterback last week leaving. Well, I'd be darned if they didn't bring a guy in that looked awfully good and made a lot of people wonder, why was this guy not starting in the first place?
Yeah, it doesn't seem like many people were losing sleep, actually, that the quarterback left. Like, it was more just a big story because of the implications of a player doing that. I think they seem like they're just as good, if not better off, without him. Are we disrespecting UNLV by calling it Arkansas West? Is Arkansas UNLV East?
Yeah, maybe.
You know, because they're having the better year. Then again, it is kind of crazy that you see these players that didn't quite
It's fun to watch them and see them, you know, have success elsewhere.
Yeah, and it's these players that didn't really get the shine at Arkansas that are now going somewhere else, and you're seeing it happen. So I'm going to pick UNLV. They're at home. I like what they're doing.
Yeah, I'm going to go with UNLV, too. They're ranked. They're number 25. This is one of the biggest home games they've had in a long time, maybe the biggest they've had since they played their home games at Allegiant Stadium there in Las Vegas. They're a 6.5-point favorite to beat Syracuse. I think UNLV has got a good chance to win that. That's one of a couple of big games tonight. You've also got Michigan State at Oregon tonight. That game will be on Fox. UNLV, they've got 5 Friday night games this year, by the way. So they're used to playing on Fridays. And then former Razorback quarterback Rhett Lashley takes his SMU Mustangs to Louisville tomorrow. This is an ACC game. Louisville ranked number 22 nationally. The Cardinals are 3-1, 1-0 in conference play. They lost to Notre Dame a week ago. SMU 4-1 overall, and they're undefeated after they just beat the snot out of Florida State last week down in Highland Park. Do you think that SMU can go in and beat Louisville as a 6.5-point underdog?
I do. I look at what their offense is doing in recent weeks, and I think that is – it's football in every sport is so much just momentum in what you're doing and kind of gaining that belief that you can go and do it. I think that the SMU is a team that's got a lot of belief right now. I know they have that tough loss to BYU, but since then how they've responded has been well. Louisville, it's going to be their biggest challenge to see how they respond from a loss now. But I'm going to pick SMU.
I think Louisville wins it. Louisville is a 6.5-point favorite. I know it's a home game, and that gives me a little bit more of an early home game. And what I'm trying to say there is that I think with it being an early home game, I think there's maybe a little bit better chance of SMU going in there and picking them off. I watched SMU some, though, early in the year, and even though I like what they're doing, I still think their line play is going to struggle against ACC teams. And I just don't know that they're really equipped to stack up against some of these ACC teams. I know what they did against Florida State. It looks to me like Florida State has not only let go of the rope, they've lit it on fire and they've thrown it into the lake. But I don't know that SMU can go in and beat Louisville. So I will take the Cardinals, but good luck to the Mustangs this weekend.
Talking about
in
the
that game.
SMU O-line, shout out to former Razorback Andrew Chambly. He's their second team left tackle.
One more big non-conference game this weekend. This doesn't have any Razorback affiliation, but it's the rematch of the national championship game last year, and it's a conference game now. Michigan and Washington in Seattle. It'll be on NBC Saturday night. Washington, even though unranked, Michigan number 10, Washington is a 1.5-point favorite.
Yeah, that's confusing to me. I don't know what they're seeing because this is a Washington team that just lost to Rutgers. It's hard. You know, these Vegas people, they know what they're doing. So it's alarming. I'm a pick Michigan, though. It just seems like the smart pick.
I'll pick Michigan, but I think maybe what might be playing into this, and you talked about Washington losing to Rutgers, these long flights, I think they've got a potential to mess with teams. You see it in the NFL all the time where, like, you know, say the Patriots go out to San Francisco or the Seahawks go to Miami. The long flights have a way of messing with football teams. I'll take Michigan. I've been impressed with how they've bounced back from their loss to Texas. I think they're a little bit better than I thought they were a few weeks ago. But wouldn't surprise me to see Washington win that game. All right, in the SEC, the big game on Saturday morning is Missouri, ranked number 9. They go to Texas A&M. 25th-ranked Aggies are a 2.5-point favorite to win this game at Kyle Field. Missouri's coming off a week off.
Yeah, the biggest blessing Missouri could have gotten was a week off because they needed a reset from whatever they've done the first 4 weeks of the year. It's hard to remember a team that's been this highly ranked and undefeated that I felt less impressed with than Missouri this year. I think Texas A&M's going to pick them off still, though. I think that A&M defense is really good. Missouri hasn't faced anything like it yet.
This feels like a total toss-up to me. It wouldn't surprise me if both of these teams win. I think, just to the naked eye, they look a little evenly matched. I think Missouri might have, I think they certainly got an edge with a player like Luther Burden. He's going to be the best player on most of the fields that he steps on. I just think the fact that it's an A&M home game, I'm going to take A&M to win it over Missouri. I haven't been impressed with Missouri the last couple of games. I know they beat Boston College. I know they beat Vanderbilt. Wasn't impressed watching them do that in either game. 2:30 game on ABC tomorrow. Auburn goes to 5th-ranked Georgia. The Bulldogs are a 22-point favorite, and they are mad after losing at Alabama last week.
Yeah, I think Georgia's – I mean, unfortunately for Auburn, they would win this game 8 out of 9 times, but I think that Georgia tomorrow it's going to be the one.
You think they'd win it 8 out of 9?
Well, ask Hugh Freeze, and that's definitely – he's going to give you some sort of percentage of why Auburn – it was the wrong day. I think Georgia's going to beat them by 30, and he's still going to say something.
Here's
like
a question.
That.
How many interceptions does Peyton Thorne throw in the game?
Is it still going to be Peyton Thorne? I'm sure it will be.
Who else do they go to? Are they going to go to Walker White?
Are they going to Hank Brown go back to?
I don't know that they. I mean, they've got a real quarterback problem there.
I think that
I would not want to be facing Georgia after a loss.
Yeah, no, this is.
I think Georgia covers 22 points and then some.
This is a terrible time for Auburn to be rolling into there.
There's a legitimate question about whether or not they'll win an SEC game this year.
Yeah,
I know they play Vanderbilt, but that team, they don't look very good.
Yeah,
Georgia, big win for Georgia in Athens. Ole Miss, ranked number 12. They go to South Carolina. The Rebels also coming off a loss. They're an 8.5-point favorite, though, on the road against the Gamecocks.
I'm picking the underdog.
You're going with South Carolina?
I am. I think Ole Miss last week, that was just so unimpressive what they did against Kentucky. I do think Kentucky is that type of team.
But I think they're a better team than people give them credit for.
I think they
do some things along the line of scrimmage, and they always have. That really give teams problems.
I agree. I think Kentucky's is that team that can beat anybody if you just catch them on the wrong day. Ole Miss, though, it was a sign of they haven't been tested yet last week, and they haven't been tested in a road environment like what they're going to see Saturday. I think South Carolina coming off a bye, it's a great time for them. They've been impressive ever since, they started off the year. So poorly with that showing against Old Dominion. They almost beat LSU at home. I think South Carolina, I just think it's bad timing for Ole Miss.
I think Ole Miss, I don't know if they'll make the playoff this year. I think they're worthy of being considered and talked about in the playoff consideration, though. I think they win. I think that if they are what they say they are, they have to go to South Carolina and win that game. Because if they don't, they're out of the playoff talk probably for the rest of the year, barring some sort of a big run and some big upsets along the way. I think Ole Miss wins that game. Alabama goes to Vanderbilt. The Commodores are a 22.5-point favorite at home. And if you've ever watched a game in Nashville, when the big teams come in, it's more of a home game for the road team.
I'm going to pick Vanderbilt. I'm just kidding. Alabama, name your score.
Yeah, I think Alabama wins. I think they win. It does seem like it could be a type of game where maybe it's closer for a little bit longer than people think it is, because Alabama coming off the Georgia win. Obviously, Vanderbilt, I think they've had a week off after they lost to Missouri. This is a better Vanderbilt team than I think we've seen over the last few years under Clark Lee. And so it wouldn't surprise me if maybe they stay within striking distance, maybe 10, 13, 15 points somewhere in there. But I think Alabama, eventually the talent certainly pulls away. And then one more SEC game. It's going to be being played basically at the same time as Arkansas and Tennessee. KJ Jefferson goes back to the Swamp, the site of his last great game as a Razorback, taking on the Florida Gators. How about Florida's schedule this year? They play Miami, UCF, and Florida State, all of the other power teams from the state of Florida. And they're doing that in a year where their head coach is on probably the hottest seat in the country. UCF and Gus Malzahn, a 2-point favorite going into the Swamp.
Yeah, not only is that their non-conference, they also play in conference Tennessee, Texas, and Georgia. So, yeah.
They've
Ole Miss.
Got, I said this at the beginning of the year. They've got the hardest schedule in the country. They played 8 teams that were ranked in the preseason top 25, and that was more than any other team.
Yeah, it's a horrible schedule for them. But I do think that this is a game that they're going to win. You know, last time KJ Jefferson went to the swamp, he womped. He was womping in there. But
swamping.
I think it's going to be womp, womp, womp for UCF this week. They got blasted by Colorado last week. And Florida's playing a little bit better than they started off the year. I was really hard on Florida at the start of the year. I think that they've found something that is going to keep them competitive.
Florida coming off a bye. Central Florida got beat by Colorado really bad in Orlando last week. They lost by 27 in that game. I haven't picked against Florida this year. Why start now? I'm going to go with the Gators to beat UCF. I don't think they're that good. It's just I've had a hard time getting a read on that team. I'll say Florida beats Central Florida in the swamp this weekend. That game will be on SEC Network. And then finally, Arkansas-Tennessee. The Vols a 13.5-point favorite going into Fayetteville. Did you know that Arkansas has not beaten a top five team or a top four team in Fayetteville since 1999 when Tennessee came in and they tore down the ball, the goalpost, and they put them up against the brewery right over here on Dixon Street? It would be that didn't feel like the type of upset that this would feel like. Arkansas, it just feels like they've got an uphill climb this weekend. Offensive line not playing well. Now you get a defensive line that's really elite coming in. Arkansas, a banged up team. You're playing a Tennessee team that is a little bit fresher off of a bye week. And then not only that, but Tennessee, they have shown to be a pretty good road team this year, whether it be the neutral site performance they had against North Carolina State or whether it be the way they went in and really took the crowd out of the game 2 weeks ago over in Norman. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think the word I used earlier is just inopportune. That's what this is for Arkansas, the timing of it. Just you're banged up. You've played two really physical games the past 2 weeks. Tennessee, all the momentum in the world, all the confidence, they're coming off a bye. It just sets up to where it's hard to see a way that Arkansas pulls this off. I do think that we touched on at the beginning. I think it's going to be closer than I think some people are expecting Arkansas to just get absolutely train wrecked out there. I'd be surprised if they just get destroyed. I think they'll keep it close probably midway through the second half, and then Tennessee just kind of does its thing.
I think in the 4-team playoff era, style points were a big deal, and they're not as big of a deal anymore. And I think that might have been you saw that contribute a little bit to what Tennessee did over at Oklahoma, to where it's like, look, we are suffocating them, and we're just going to take the air out of the football, and we're going to totally change our identity, shorten this game, and get out of here with a win. Maybe they don't lose by as much as some people think they'll lose to Tennessee. It just feels to me, of all the games that Arkansas is going to play in Fayetteville against SEC teams this year, this might be the least winnable. I think that I would give them a better chance to beat LSU after a bye week. I think I would give them a better chance to beat Texas after a bye week. And Ole Miss, we'll see what's going on at that point, but they do get Ole Miss after a game against Mississippi State that might be a get-right game, and you can get some momentum. This feels like a hard week for Arkansas to get momentum to beat Tennessee. Hey, maybe they do, but it feels tough because I think the Volunteers are a really good team. If you've listened to our podcast at all this year, you know that I've been really high on this Tennessee team since the first time I laid eyes on them in week two. They look like the real deal, a real championship-type contender.
Let's hope that their equipment truck has a better drive through Arkansas.
Hey. I mean, they wrecked their equipment truck in North Little Rock on the way home from Norman 2 weeks ago. Maybe that's a good omen for Arkansas that Tennessee's not going to have good luck in the natural state.
Maybe it is where they come to crash.
We'll see. Again, Arkansas-Tennessee, Saturday night, 6:30 on ABC. Hope you come to our website throughout the weekend, wholehogsports.com, to read about the game, both leading up to it and obviously after it. We'll be back with another podcast on Monday to talk about the Razorbacks and the Volunteers. Maybe we'll have a little Purple Dog Mountie discussion, too. Hope you have a great weekend, everyone. We'll see you Monday.